Well, let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to this passage that we read from Judges chapter 14. And as we spend a few weeks thinking about the story of Samson, as we said last week, in many ways we think at a certain level, yes, we know the story of Samson. It seemed to be the one, interestingly, that the boys and girls, the one judge that the boys and girls remembered over and above the rest of them. And yet, how much do we really know the story of Samson? Last week, we considered chapter 13, and we thought about how God has a gracious purpose and the people that he uses, just very ordinary people. And we thought about the story of Samson and how even before he was born, even before he was conceived, God had a plan and a purpose. And he comes to Samson's father, Manoah, and to his mummy, whose name we are not even given. Very ordinary people, faithful people, prayerful people, obedient people, and yet limited people, just like you and me. Manoah and his wife. And yet, here's the thing that we're going to be noticing, certainly today and all being well next week, that their son, Samson, who was born, gifted though he was, he actually would cause them much heartache. And you may be a child of God here. You may be a faithful parent, trying your best in very ordinary circumstances. Will that save you from human tears and even heartache? Will that save you from many a restless night, not just because the temperature is too high? No, it will not. And yet, as was the case with Manoah and his wife, here's the thing, God was at work. Even in the midst of the tears, even in the midst of the uncertainty, even in the midst of the sense, God, what is happening here? We can see at this end that God was in it. And I would say to you this morning, hold on to that. Lean upon that. Rest upon that. And it will be a tonic to your soul. And if I could, even at a very basic level, knowing the context in which we live. Sometimes in life, situations happen, circumstances are such, and we say, well, Lord, where are you in all of this? Maybe it's something as ordinary and yet nonetheless important. I come from a farm. I don't underestimate these things. And people say, well, Lord, we really do need a shower of rain or a lot more. And I understand people in these days can begin to almost panic and worry about these things, and I don't underestimate that or trivialize that. And yet, here's the thing, folks. If we believe that God is God, God can be trusted. God has a bigger purpose than you and I can ever see. And it was the same in Manoah's day. It was the same in Samson's mummy's day. Samson, just like all the other judges, was flawed. And the thing that you may or may not have thought about as you think about the story of Samson, and we begin to see it a bit today in chapter 14, and we certainly see it in chapter 15, and then in the famous chapter 16, these chapters catalogue for us the descent of Samson, and I choose my words very carefully, into recklessness and womanizing and vindictiveness and violence. And they say the Bible is boring. They obviously haven't read it. You know, in many, many ways, as we look at Judges chapter 14, the first three words, in some ways, says it all. You're saying now, what are the first three words? Well, there they are. Judges 14 and verse 1. Samson went down. Samson went down. And it is the story of Samson, at least a big part of the story. And it is the story of humanity. And in broad terms, the basic message of the gospel is this, that the way of the world brings you down. And the way of Christ lifts you up. I wonder this morning, can I ask you, are you going down? Are you going down? Down deeper, deeper into the world? Or are you being lifted up by the redeeming grace and power and love of God in Christ? Are you being pulled down by the things of the world, or are you being lifted up by the grace of God? That in many ways is a key question from this story today. And in the time that I have, I first of all want to recount this story. And then draw out what it's saying to us. Basically, the story, well, you heard it read. Some of you are familiar with it. Some of you may not have heard this story for a long time. Samson sees a Philistine woman, and he demands to have her as his wife. We read in verses 3 and 4 the reaction, the understandable reaction of his parents. Samson, there's some very nice girls around here. Why do you have to go down to Timnah to get this woman? But Samson is determined. And then we're told about the famous incident with the lion. An extraordinary incident. And this lion that pounces on him, and Samson, given the strength that God has given to him, he kills the lion. Now, bear in mind, it's not something I'm going to dwell on in all of this. Samson had been raised with the Nazarite vows. He wasn't to have any contact with anything dead. Sadly, he was going to break that many, many times over. And as he's coming back, he notices the dead lion. He doesn't take a wide berth. He goes and he sees the bees, and he sees the honey, and he takes some for himself and passes it on to his mum and to his dad. They, of course, didn't know where it had come from. And then we have this whole incident with the wedding feast and the gamble or the bet or whatever you want to call it, and this riddle. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. And really, in many, many ways, as one preacher put it, I remember, Samson, in many ways, he doesn't show really much sense here at all. And he teases these Philistines. And they make great and severe threats against his wife and her family. And they say, well, look, you find out the answer to this, or we'll kill you. The pressure is put on Samson by his wife. And then he tells her. And then they say, Samson, we know the answer to your riddle. Verse 18, the men of the town said to Samson, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And Samson, in a rage, in temper, takes revenge and kills Philistines and starts this spiral of violence. Is that how you think of Samson? I suspect that some of you, as you just hear this, will say, goodness, I'd forgotten about that. But what is this passage saying? Well, let me just quickly get into this if I can. And I just want to put something, and I don't want to get too involved with this, but it's a really, really interesting part of this passage. The way that this passage is written, there are basically five occasions when it talks about going down. You can see them there. I don't have to read everything. Samson went down to Timnah. Samson went down. Samson went down. His father went down. Samson went down. So right through this passage, the kind of the basic way this is written under God, it's all built around this going down. But here's the really interesting thing, that in every single one of those incidences where it mentions going down, there is a kind of a secret. People don't quite know what's happening. The first one is Samson goes down to the Philistines. The people don't understand that actually, in a peculiar way, God is in this, the secret of God's purpose. The next thing that people don't really know about is the whole incident with the lion. We're told there's a secret about the honey. He gives the honey to his mommy and daddy, but he certainly doesn't tell them where it's come from. And then there's the whole secret about the riddle. And then at the very end of the story, and you would almost miss it, we're told that Samson's wife that he just got married to actually is given to somebody else. Samson doesn't even know it. You might say, how on earth could that happen? Well, it happened. You see, the chapter is full of what people do not know. The parents didn't know God was at work. The parents didn't know Samson had killed a lion. The parents didn't know where the honey had come from. The Philistines didn't know the answer to the riddle. And Samson doesn't even know that his wife has been given to someone else. Now, it's this level of looking at this passage that I suspect may be new to some. In fact, you might say that there were an awful lot of things that Samson didn't know. How much did he know about his calling to be a judge? How much does he understand about the nature of the Nazarite vow that has been taken? Like his meandering around the vineyards and all of that kind of stuff says to me and many other commentators that he either didn't really understand much about it or he was just ignoring it. To what extent does he understand that his fraternizing with the Philistines runs counter to all that his predecessors had stood for? There are many, many things that Samson didn't know. And more to the point, there are many, many things that we do not know. And here is one of them. And I want to focus upon this just for a moment or two. Here is the question. How can God use a man like Samson? How can God use a man like Samson who at times is reckless and a bit of a womanizer and a violent man, a fighter? How can God use that sort of man? Because strange as it may seem to some, God does use him. Look at the text, verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. Verse 19. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. Chapter 15 and verse 14. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. Why was Samson able to do these things? Was it because he went to the gym a lot? Was it because he was a trained fighter? No. It was because God was with him. To quote Tim Keller, God is giving Samson superhuman strength. You might say, why? Why does he use a reckless man like Samson? Should he not just use good and godly people? Well, here's the thing. God can do what he wants. He's God after all. God is not limited by humans. God is not limited to only working when we do the right thing. God is God. God takes the initiative. That's what grace is. He takes the initiative to save his people. Let me quote to you a few words from one of the commentators, David Jackman. He says this, the book of Judges is above all a book about grace, undeserved mercy, as is the whole Bible. That is not to play down theological accuracy or to pretend it doesn't matter how we believe. But we can rejoice that he's also in the business of using our failures as the foundations of his success. Let us never imagine that we've got God taped or that we know how he will work or when. As soon as we start to say, well, God cannot or will not do this until we are wrong-footed. So here's this story, Judges 14, where God is at work and God is using this reckless individual called Samson. Now, the whole thing will turn around and we'll come in due course to that on another day. But what does this teach us? What does this say to you and me this morning? Well, it's a word of instruction, isn't it? That God works through sinners. It's a mystery of providence. We do not presume upon it, but God works through sinners. Of course, God calls you and I to a holy life, to a godly life. That goes without saying. When, by and large, that is not happening, as in the days of Samson, God raises up a judge, a flawed and imperfect man. And who does he point us to? Well, he points us to one who is not flawed, one who is absolutely perfect. He points us to the ultimate Savior, the ultimate Judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was like us, tempted in every way, yet without sin. And so, folks, there's parts of this passage and parts of this story that Samson, that maybe at times are hard for us to understand, and we cannot fully understand all that's going on here. But see this, God is in this situation, and God works through this very imperfect man to bring a deliverance for his people, and ultimately that points us to Calvary, and how God works through his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, to bring a deliverance for all who would trust him, for all who would repent and believe the gospel. But here's the thing that I want to just maybe leave you with. There's a challenge here. And there's a whole lot here that in this passage that people didn't know or understand. And there's a whole lot that we don't know and understand. But I think we can understand this. In a moment or two, we will be singing that lovely hymn that speaks, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." I deliberately chose that because of some of the words. Let me quote to you some of the words. "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O God, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Folks, the truth of the matter is this, that Samson had been called to great things, and yet he had a wandering heart. And Samson would come right at the end by the grace of God. But he had a wandering heart, just like you and just like me, who amongst us professing to be saved by the grace of God would deny the times that we wander. Are we as holy as we ought to be? Today, will we live the godly life that we ought to live? The answer to that is probably no. Are we not at times reckless? Are we not at times unwise? Yes, we are. And yet, the amazing grace of God is this, that God can come through his word and through his gospel and touch us afresh. The Spirit of the Lord can come upon us afresh. His Holy Spirit can awaken you, stir you, move you, draw you back from your backsliding, make you strong again to fight for the good, to fight for the gospel of Jesus Christ, not with the weapons of this world, but with the whole armor of God that has divine power to demolish the strongholds and to demolish those things that set themselves up against God. So folks, this morning, as we think of Samson, this man who had so much potential, and we'll come to this again, and yet that potential that was given to him, as it's given to you and me, that potential was misused. And folks, the potential that God puts in your heart and my heart can so often be misused and abused. We wander. We do our own thing. And yet God calls you this morning to come back. God calls you to that place where you would just long that his Spirit would come and touch you in power again, giving you a fresh love for Christ, a fresh love for his word, a fresh love for the things of the gospel, that in these days of decline, in these days of carelessness, that God would raise up a band of men and women and boys and girls who love him in these perilous days, that God would do that. Bind my wandering heart to thee, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we think of this mysterious and yet wonderful story of Samson, Lord, that we, like him, wander and do our own thing so often. Lord, that you would come by your Spirit and touch us and draw us back. Lord, that you would give us that fresh love for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, come and move by your Spirit in these days. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Well, we're going to sing this lovely hymn, Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing.